Good evening, and thank you for joining us on Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. Oh, it is good to laugh.
Tara making me laugh.
Tara actually prayed specifically for laughter. Thank you for joining us this evening. We are just joy-filled, praise the Lord.
And hungry.
And we are studying from Tara Rye's Bible study, Daybreak. And we are actually in the book of Judges, chapter 6 and 7, studying about Gideon. And Gideon is just... Oh, man, you know when you haven't read for a while a certain, you know, I feel like Gideon. Tara feels like Gideon.
Yeah, I wonder how many people right now feel like Gideon.
Yeah.
You feel weak. You feel like your family's the weakest. You don't have any strength. That's where we're at. And we've been talking through Gideon and how God has come to him at a time when the nation has got evil going on. And we've looked at that God, when people will humble themselves and cry out to God, God will send a person to give them the truth, and God will make his presence known. He will show them that he has a plan, and he will show them that they can be secure in the assurance that a promised victory is coming. And what we're going to begin to look at is that we're going to see that God will, in our life circumstances, reveal to us our character. Our character, okay? Mm-hmm. There are two lies that Satan uses to destroy the kingdom of God and in our lives. And I kid you not, this will be evident and relevant in any area. It will come to destroying God's character, and it will come to destroying God's word. These are the two prevailing lies. And you can just go to Genesis and look at Adam and Eve. And when the serpent is talking to Eve, he says, "Did God really say?" Okay, he's attacking mm-hmm. God's character, and he's attacking God's word. If we look at any lie that we are dealing with that is against Christ and the word, you're going to find it either is attacking God's character or it's attacking God's word. Those are the two lies Satan uses today. And he used them in the garden. And it's the way, and he twists it and he changes it and everything. But
new.
God says, when I am working with you, I'm going to give you the truth, and I'm going to show you your character in me. So when it comes to God and how God relates to us, it's going to build the word of God in us, and it's going to build our character and reveal our character of who we are. And that's why God said to him, "Mighty warrior," when he felt weak, because he's revealing to him his character.
Mm-hmm.
And what God wants us to understand is that in our circumstances, as we endure with patience, a revelation of his character will be made known. The problem is we will often walk away before the breakthrough of that character development in our life can happen.
Mm-hmm.
So God says to Gideon, what I want you to do is I want you to go in. You're going to go in. I want you to tear down Baal. And I want you to go in and tear down the Asherah pole. Now, what you have to understand is Gideon's dad is the head of the tribe. Gideon's dad is the one that put those two poles up.
Joash.
Yeah. So you're not just talking him going against the city. It's going against his dad. All right? And so here God tells him, I want you to go in. I want you to tear them down. And I want you to build a proper altar. My people are not called to have these be what they go to worship. These are made with man-made hands. You need to go and sacrifice a bull on a proper altar before me and confess. Get it right with me.
So Gideon confessed for all the people for everything that they had been doing at the two altars or the two false gods.
Do you know, it does not tell us that in the passages.
Okay.
But it does say that I'm going to go and I'll take it. It's what he does is it, and starting about verse 27. All right, let's start with verse 26. I want you to see. It says, then build a proper kind of altar. This is God talking to him, to the Lord your God, on the top of the height, using the wood of the Asherah pole that you cut down. God says, I want you to cut down what they've made, and I want you to use it to make a proper one. And then I want you to put a burnt offering. The purpose behind a burnt offering is for the confession of the sins.
Right.
And he does do that. So the assumption is that he is confessing the sins of the people as the leader.
Okay.
So he is literally taking over leadership in a way, becoming the judge over them for their actions of being evil in the eyes of God.
Wow.
It is the wise man and the wise woman that is willing to own the sins of their people. Hmm. Daniel did. Yeah. Nehemiah did. Think about it. If we really look, Jesus did.
It's a typology.
It is. Yeah. Totally. And then what happens is that he takes, Gideon is afraid. He's scared. He's scared of his dad. He's scared of his family. And scripture tells us he's afraid. So he gets 10 buds. Come on, guys. Let's go at nighttime.
Yeah. I don't want to get whooped.
I just think it's hilarious. It's just so funny. And they go in and they demolish it. They cut it down. And he does exactly what God says. He takes the wood from the Asherah pole and he builds a proper altar and they sacrifice the bull on the altar. Now, what you have to understand is, where'd that bull come from? His dad's bull. You know, it's from his family's land. He didn't go out and steal a bull. He took a bull from his own father's property. He's obeying God. And the people wake up the next morning and they're down. And God's wanting Gideon to see he is mighty and he is strong. But even what's even so sweet about this is that Joash could have been one of those men that said, kill him.
Mm-hmm. He could have got on board.
He could have. But Joash was wise in that he realized, you're right. What he did is right. He obviously was the weakest clan because he obviously knew what was right, but was doing what was wrong. And when he saw what was right being accomplished, truly offering a sacrifice before God, he knew that he could not counter it. And he looks at these men and he says to them, I'm going to read you exactly what he says. And he goes, are you going to plead Baal's cause? I mean, can you just hear him saying this?
Oh, yeah.
Are you trying to save him? If he is God, if Baal really is a God, he can defend himself when someone breaks down his altar.
I love that wisdom.
So that day they called Gideon Jerubbaal, which means Baal contends. So on this day, what was intended to be a curse of a name, they intended that to be a name where they're literally blaspheming Gideon, Jerubbaal. You know, we're going to let Baal contend with you. Okay. Well, nothing happened. Gideon's still walking around. He's still doing what he's doing. And his character has been revealed. Right. To the people, that his character is marked. It's different. It is of God. He is one who is going to obey God's commands and hear God's voice and do what God says. So as the Midianites and the Amalekites, they all begin to join forces. They start to cross over the Jordan into the valley. And the Spirit of the Lord comes upon Gideon and he blows a trumpet and he begins to summon all of the people together, and he calls them out, and they're about to go into battle. The very ones that made fun of Gideon, Jerubbaal, come out in forces of 30,000 when he blows the trumpet for them to go to battle. Huge. This is huge. They were cursing him with that name, and now that's the name that they call him with honor. Now, I so that you can get a parallel to this, that this even applies to us today. In Acts 11, I don't remember what verse, but it's in Acts 11. I know it's in Acts 11. For the very first time, Christians are called Christians. The Christ followers, the people of the way, are called Christians for the very first time. And when the name Christian was first used, it was used as a curse. It wasn't used to honor a Christian. It was used to literally blaspheme them. And now, what do we do with the name Christian? It's like a high honor to have somebody say, yeah. Wow, she's a Christian.
Yeah,
he's a Christian. That's amazing. And so here we have this honor of God upon us, that we have this title, and he has this badge of honor.
He is
Jerubbaal. Baal didn't contend with him. It's now an honor, and they're willing to follow him.
When you were speaking earlier about Gideon doing it at night and knowing that they needed to do this, but even his dad, he couldn't get on board right away. And I just think about The Voice of the Martyr, that magazine.
Mm.
And I don't know if you get it.
I do.
You do? Okay.
I do.
And I think about these people in restricted countries where they can't preach the gospel, they can't have Bibles, but yet they go out. Even if their whole family is against them,
yeah,
been some, and then by the power of God, some families get transformed because of the faith of one.
It's amazing. It's amazing.
I mean, it happens today.
It is happening today.
So it's just, I don't know, when you were telling me that, I got such a visual of the actual, like, stories that they have over and over again on in the magazine. It's like Gideon's.
It's mind blowing where they will literally have one Bible, they will rip it out, and every person they give a page to is required to memorize that entire page. Mm-hmm. So that if the page is taken from them, that they can speak the truth that is in that page.
And then them worshiping false gods. And it's just amazing that that still goes on.
It is.
Such a prevalent, I don't know.
It is. And you know what? And it should be a reprimand to us in America, North America in particular, and that we take for granted and have 10 Bibles in our home and don't pick them up and read them. God forgive us.
I know.
When we have people in other countries that are our brothers and sisters in Christ dying because they have one page.
Wow. Forgive us, Lord.
Yeah.
That's what I thought of, though, when you were telling that story.
Huge, huge importance for us to get it. And Gideon's starting to get it. He is starting to walk in obedience as God is showing him. So here we have this situation where they're about to go to battle again. And Gideon's like, oh, Lord, if you're going to save Israel by my hand, as you promised, could you do me a favor? And he takes a fleece and he sits it on the threshing floor and he says, God, would you get field dew just on the fleece and keep the dry ground? And it happens. Well, at Lifeway, I was at writers' conference in the last month, and it was absolutely amazing. They had, for every writer group, we had our own scholar, theologian present that could literally tell us anything that we needed to know. And my scholar in my group, I fell in love with this man. He's absolutely adorable. His name is Dr. Robert Bergen, and he writes like commentary for Holman. And I mean, it's just incredible mind. And over 3 days, this man storied, told in his own words, the entire book of Joshua, Judges, and Ruth to us.
Wow.
In order, with the right names pronounced right, and then would stop and tell us, well, in the Hebrew transliteration of this, you might have some difficulties with this word or whatever. He said what happened with Gideon that we needed to understand is that having the fleece be wet and the ground be dry, that's not very big deal, because somebody could have woke up in the middle of the night and gone to the bathroom on it. And I laughed too, Sabrina. I was like, I never thought of that. Somebody could have poured water on it. It could have not been from God. It wasn't miraculous. For the ground to be dry and the fleece to be wet, somebody could have done something.
So what does that mean?
So the second time, what Gideon does is he asks for the miraculous. God, I'm putting the fleece out, and all of the earth is going to be wet except for the fleece. And the fleece was dry. Okay? Oftentimes we think, oh, I'm going to be like Gideon. I'm going to ask God for a fleece sign. And we do it based off of coincidence. Oh, God, you know, if you have so-and-so, if I do this, it's all coincidence-oriented. But what we have to understand, this was miraculous. This was a miraculous thing to have happen. Only could happen by the fingerprint of God. And we make assumptions into passages of Scripture we should not be assuming. And in fact, in the Quest Study Bible in particular, they say seeking out special signs shows a lack of trust in God.
Right, because he says that.
Right, and so
the New Testament. Right,
and so we have to be where we are trusting God in faith, even when we cannot see that which God has shown us that needs to be, and we don't want to beat Gideon up here in any way, shape, or form, because Scripture does not show God reprimanding Gideon at all.
No,
he doesn't get in trouble for what he's doing,
because God knows the heart.
Right, and so God does exactly what he does and answers him so that he can see. God wants us to see our character that we have in him. And he wants us to see his character that he is, and that he is faithful to fulfill the promises that he plans for us. And that we do not have to be afraid. But as if this is not enough, God wants him to understand that it's not going to happen with his strength. He has told him, I want you to go in the strength you have. But God then shows him, I don't want you to see that it's going to be your strength. I want you to see it's my strength. So he has these 30,000 men, and God says, get rid of
I know.
First he says, I want you to take all of the people that are afraid. Tell them go home. Now, can you imagine standing before your troops? And he's got 30,000 men. He's like, yeah, you Midianites, Amalekites, you better look out. Got 30,000 men. And God says, send home anyone that's afraid. 20,000 men turned around and walked away that day. And went home. Had dinner with their wives.
You can't really call them cowards because
no,
of the same
No, because they
time.
Were given permission.
Right.
They had complete permission. If you're afraid, it's okay. Go home. It's all right. This isn't your battle.
This isn't your calling.
Nope. Right. So then he has 10,000 men left. He's like, it's all right. We got 10,000 men. God, you know, we're going to do this. And God says, you know, it's not. We got to take it down a little bit more. Gideon, this time what I want you to do is I want you to only take the men that lap like dogs. Now, a dog is not seen well in their culture. A dog is not a pet like what we think of.
It's more like a nuisance.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. And here he wants him to take the ones that lap like dogs. And how often have you ever seen? I mean, I've been like on riverbanks. I've had to drink water. I've never seen anybody kneel down and lap like a dog. I've thought of that for years.
So they just, you mean with their tongue, like.
Yes, bent over and lapped like a dog. 9,700 took their hands and scooped it up and drank it like a normal person. But 300 men lapped like a dog. And God says
that probably meant like even the poor are the poor.
That was exactly it. Sabrina, you just nailed it. God said, they're the ones I want you to take.
Wow.
And Gideon's like, okay, 9,700, you go home. You 300, follow me.
I will exalt those who humble themselves.
Yes. And so as if that's not enough, God says, okay, Gideon, just to make sure so that you understand I am on your side. And he goes, I want you to take your servant. And I want you to go down in there, and I want you to hear what's going on. And Gideon's like, okay, God. And he goes, I want you to go see that you can be encouraged by what you're going to see and hear. And so he gets Pura, and they go down, and he hears two men talking. And they're talking, and he says, I had a dream. I dreamed this big barley loaf comes rolling in, and it rolls over our camp and destroys us. And Gideon's listening, and you know, and he has this dream being spoken. And the guy sitting next to him in his tent is like, you know what? It's got to be Gideon, the son of Joash. And I remember thinking, why would he know who Gideon is? And then it occurred to me, Gideon tore down Baal and the Ashtoreth pole.
That's right. So
don't you know
knows.
Everybody in the surrounding communities heard what he did? Mm-hmm. He was a mighty warrior in their eyes. The enemy of God was afraid of Gideon because he was willing to do what God told him to do to tear down that which was not of God. And the enemy had heard of Gideon before he ever showed up. Now, if you're a child of God, I want you to hear this. The enemy has heard of you. Mm. Do not be afraid. Thank you for listening to Cultivating Hearts. We love you. God bless.